has given me is don't come short. And it comes from Hebrews 4. Let's read Hebrews 4, 1 through 3.
Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
So if you will look at these scriptures, you will find that God had a plan from the foundation of the world that we should enter into his rest. My thought is, don't come short. It says, let us therefore fear, lest any of you, let's see, read that first verse again.
Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it.
So, in other words, the promise is unto all of us. God has given that. He has provided everything. There is nothing left that he needed to do or for him to do for us to provide salvation for us. When we enter into the rest of the Lord, we are saved. That's what he does. He gives us a rest from that old life of sin. You know, sometimes people seem to love sin, not realizing it is a bondage and that it is something that weights you down. But God has a rest for the people of God. And if we live for him and if we will take advantage of his rest, we will not come short of it. We have to fear, though. There's a certain amount of fear that we need to have, that having all of this, what God has provided us, we could come short of it, and we don't want to. In the judgment, we don't want to be found short of the rest that God has given us. And so we want to think about the opportunity of salvation. Not when we say opportunity of salvation, it sounds like we're just talking to unsaved people, but you know, it's all of us. It's the saved and the unsaved, because we have the opportunity to enter into his rest, but we want to maintain that opportunity. We don't want to get slack and careless and indifferent and come up short in the judgment, because the judgment is really what's going to matter. So how can we make sure that we don't come short of it? Let's go to Hebrews 2 and 1 through 3. The one way we can make sure is to take advantage of God's dealings. Whether he's dealing with us for salvation or whether he's dealing with us for coming up in the Lord. Sometimes we have things about us the Lord will pinpoint and he wants us to do something about it. Whichever way it is, we don't want to come short. We want to take advantage of every opportunity. I was in Honduras and this thought, well, I had this thought, but the Lord wanted me to share it there. I shared some of it there. And I was thinking how that, you know, young people, sometimes they'll say, you talk to them and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some of them say, well, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a teacher, or I want to be this, that, and the other. And then some of those very young people may get caught up with the wrong crowd that distract them from their goal, other things they want. Maybe their friends like to party, so they start that on that road, a party and having a good time. I'm young, I'm free, I can have a good time, but I can do this, I can wear this, I can, especially when they get out of their parents' house, they feel like, you know, mom, dad, they put all these restrictions on me. Now I'm free. I'll do what I want to do. But what happens a lot of time, they get off track. And then maybe 10, 20, 30 years down the road, they look back and they can see that I thought I was going to be this. And I thought I was going to have this. You know, young people have big dreams a lot. And I think dreams are good. I'm not for just going through life and not having a dream. But I feel like it gives you a sense of direction. But you know what? The dream is no good if you don't make it happen. You have to put forth effort. And the way to do it is to take advantage of the opportunities that you have. So the child, some of them even, they finish high school, they have good grades, and maybe they can get a scholarship to go to college, and they don't do it. I have my youngest, Anthony. Anthony was so smart. He could have been an engineer or something. He just was so smart. He's doing absolutely nothing with that brain of his, but working. But this happens to a lot of young people. And so we can do the same with the Lord. The Lord gives us so many opportunities. He deals with our heart. He shows us the right way. He shows us a better pattern for life. And sometimes we just put it off. Procrastinate. I'll do it when I get older. It's fun time now. I'm going to have my fun. When I get about maybe 30, 40, I might settle down, that kind of stuff. But you know, it says, let us therefore fear. That's a promise being left to us of entering his rest. Some of you should come short of it. We don't want to come up short. You have Hebrews 2:1-3.
Therefore, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?
Let us take heed. When the Lord deals with your heart, whether it is to get saved or whether it is to draw closer to him, whatever he does, let's give the more earnest heed. Do you know sometimes the Lord will deal with your heart? For instance, he might say, you know, you need to be more patient, or you shouldn't have attitudes, or you should be careful of your words. Many times the Lord through his word will deal with us. Or come unto me. I have stretched out my hand. Come and get saved. The Lord deals with us. But we must take heed, because those things will slip. Maybe today I may feel real strong urge to give my heart to the Lord. Or I may feel like I need to go to the altar and I need this and that and the other. And I think, you know what? I'll pray when I get home, or I'll put it off. And you walk out that door, that urge, that strong drawing that God gave you lifts. It said, lest at any time you should let them slip. And you go on, you get busy, you get to doing other things, you get involved in different kind of entertainment, and those things will slip. And it says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Back in the old Bible time, the angels made visit. The Lord would send a visit, the angel down and talk to people, but he confirmed it. He stood by it. How should we escape? Jesus is greater than the angels, and he's saying, "Come unto me," or he's pleading with us in one way or the other. How should we escape if we neglect? It is dangerous to neglect. There are consequences to neglect. There are regrets to neglect if we neglect the things that the Lord speaks to us. Let's go to Matthew 11, 28 to 30.
Matthew 11 and 28.
Yeah.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Come unto me. You might feel, I don't have no burden. But sin is a burden. You may not realize it. He stretches his hands out to you and say, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, whatever the labor is, whether it's sin or whether it's some little things that you feel like you need to improve on, come to me. I will give you rest. He has a rest that Hebrews 4 and 9 says, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. He wants to give us rest from sin and from anything that bounds us down. Sometimes people are bound under accusation. Look like the devil, they can't seem to do anything, but the devil keeps trying to push them down. Or sometimes people have trouble with depression. A dark cloud comes over them when they think of certain things. But Jesus wants to set us free from all of that. He wants us to be at rest and peace. That's what he gives to the people of God. When we deal with Jesus, when we come to the Lord, when he deals with our heart and we respond to him, he's going to give us rest and peace and tranquility. You know, we might be suffering in our bodies with different pain and things, but we don't have to have it inside here because he gives a rest in our souls. Let's go now to Psalms 42, and let's read 1 to 2. So, I know that there are many people who do not see the need of their soul's rest, but do you know one of the reasons some people engage in a lot of entertainment, that soul is desiring God. And if they would get God, he would give them rest. I was on the plane yesterday, and we were coming from Honduras, going from Roatan to Dallas. And I was sitting there, and the lady, like one aisle ahead of me, she was saying something like, I'm going to get some wine on this trip or something like that. I felt that she was feeling a need for something. So she thought, I guess she would get some alcohol and that would kind of make her feel better. And when I looked at her countenance, it didn't seem like she had a big problem, But she looked like she was not at rest. But she didn't know. That soul inside, maybe you have just been enjoying, and you know, it's a lot of tourists. And so they've been there just enjoying themselves in Roatan, probably diving, snorkeling, doing all kinds of things, having parties or whatever. But that doesn't satisfy. They don't realize that, why am I longing? Why is it? I've had all this fun, but I still feel the need of something. So I want some wine. That should solve my problem, you know. But that's not it. Those things do not satisfy. They just make you crave for more of it and more of it. And your body and everything goes down under it. So the rest that we need is in the Lord. Okay. You have that scripture?
42 and what?
1 and 2.
42, 1 and 2. As the heart panteth after the water of brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
That's what your soul is thirsting for. That's what it wants. When, I like this scripture too, in a way, for me as a person, I love God so much till I just pant after him. But I want us to look at how the soul pants. It needs God. It needs that water from God. We need to reach out to him. He's reaching out to us. Let's reach back and accept the plan of salvation. Let's accept his rest. Let's accept the water of life that he has for us. We don't have to be thirsting. I mean, to a sense, we thirst because we love him. But thirst and not be fulfilled. The thirst that God gives us fulfills us. And that is what we need. 1 Timothy 5 and 6.
1 Timothy 5 and 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
See that? We think the pleasure is going to satisfy it, but it doesn't. It shows a death that's within us. Something that God wants to revive. He wants to make alive. It comes from God. Not from the world, not from the things of the world, but from God. If we will only open up our heart to God and say, here I am, Lord, come into me. Give me this rest. Let's go to, I want us to read now in John 4 and 7. We're going to look at the lady at the well. No doubt. When we think of reading this part, a story of what happened, no doubt her soul was longing after God, but she didn't probably know what it was. She didn't know what she needed. And you know something? Jesus told her that she had had five husbands. So I'm willing to believe that she was searching for something to have that many husbands, right? No doubt her soul was, sometimes people are looking for love, looking for, they try this one, that one don't work, they try another one, that one doesn't work. This woman had tried five of them, and now she's has one that wasn't even hers. Because no doubt her soul was longing, and Jesus knew what she needed. He pinpointed her life, told her life story. And he told her what she could receive from him. So let's read this occasion in John 4 and 7. We're going to read all the way to 14.
There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me? with him a woman of Samaria, but the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou drinkest, it is of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From which then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, when he gave us the well, and sent to us himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water, of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Listen to this. Whoever drink of this water, they're going to drink. They're going to satisfy their thirst, but then they're going to be thirsty again. I want us to compare the water he's talking with the things of this life. Maybe sometime you think, I know, if I get a better job, a better paying job, life will be better for me. Sometimes people say that. They get a better job and they still have some craving that they don't even know about. And then they think, if I move out of this town and move to a different town, maybe things will be better. But they're not realizing that this is the kind of water, it's like drinking water that you thirst again. If you go from one thing to another thing to another thing. But if you will take on the Lord, he will give us living water. You won't thirst anymore. You'll be satisfied. Satisfaction is in Jesus. It's not in the things of this world. It's, no matter how many things we accumulate in this world, or how many friends we have, or how many parties we go to, or how many entertainment things we have, those things do not satisfy. But he told her, if you asked, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask of him, and he would give you living water. You drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But if the water that I give you, you'll not thirst again. So, did you read all the way to 14?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we thank the Lord that if we come to the Lord, if we do the things he would have us to do, he will give us living water where we won't thirst again. Go to Acts 3 and 19. He wants to give us refreshing from the presence of the Lord. He wants to satisfy us. He wants to help us to, I think I had you stop at 14, but I want you to go back and look at the part where she goes out and he asked her.
Verse 15.
Go on.
The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place wherein ought to worship. Jesus answered unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Okay, so anyway, then the woman began to realize She said unto him, I know that that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he cometh, he shall tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Just think, right there in the presence of the Messiah, in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and all he has for us, we want to be able to respond to him because he has so much for us. And she went on, she went and called other people and told them that isn't he the Christ? But salvation, she really got a hold of something there that day. And we can too, because we can be satisfied. We can have that living water. And his disciples came back to him, and they probably were wondering, why is he talking to this Samaritan woman? And then they were wondering about food. And he said, I have meat to eat, you know, not of. He saw a longing soul. Today, the Lord sees our longing of our souls. And he's saying, come unto me. I have it for you. The thing you want in life, I got it. It's in me. And so she got a hold to, I believe she was free from that day. Salvation had come to her. He was, that to Jesus was meat to him, to be able to reach a soul that needed him. And he's today pleased when he can reach a soul that needs him. Let's go on. I think I call Acts 3 and 19. No, did I?
Yes.
Okay.
Acts 3 and 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
You ask what to do? Repent. Repent. Ask God to forgive you for all your sins, that your sins may be blotted out. And he's going to give you a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So, let's surrender to God. Whether it's whatever he deals with us, let's surrender and be able and be willing to enter into his rest. Exodus 33 and 14.
Exodus 33 and 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest.
Do you see how when you enter into his presence and you accept him, there is rest? Isaiah 9 and 7.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Of his kingdom and peace. I mean, of his kingdom there shall be peace. When we accept the Lord, he's going to give us peace and rest and tranquility. So, come now. I want us to read Isaiah 1, 18 and to 20. Come now. Not later. Now is our opportunity. We don't have a promise of tomorrow, but we have promise of today. If we are in need in any way, let's come to him and let him give you rest. Sarah did not tell me what song they were singing. I asked her, and she showed Samaya, and she never told me. But that song fit. Come unto me. And that was very encouraging to me. And I will give you rest. Isaiah 1, 18.
Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, there is no sin that you cannot be forgiven for, except the sin of, there is a sin, but that's for people that have been saved, sanctified, and knew, turned back on the Lord. That's not the same. Any sin that has been done can be forgiven. All we have to do is come to him and ask him to forgive us for our sin. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat. There is a blessing and a rest and a peace for all of us that will come unto him. Now let's think about those that are saved. We still have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. God has reached his hand out to every one of us, saved and unsaved. But we have a responsibility to make sure we don't come short in the judgment, that we respond to God when he deals with us. James 1:22-25. Sometimes the Lord may show us something about ourselves. We need to do something about it. We don't need to neglect.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a bearer of the hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
That's right. So in other words, when we hear the word, whether we read it or whether we hear it preached, and we do it, we're going to be blessed in our deeds. However, if we hear the word and we don't do it, don't take advantage of it, that's what we call lost opportunities. And there is regrets to lost opportunities. It says, it's like beholding your image in a glass. Like in a mirror, you see who you are, and then God just brings it out clear. I'm dealing with you on this, and this is who you are, and this is what you need. And then you go and you don't do anything about it. You forget about it. It's like a person going in the mirror and looking at themselves and then going and forgetting it. It's just like, if I was to go and look in the mirror and I said, oh, my hair is wow. And then I walk out and I don't do anything about it. I'm probably going to be ashamed. Maybe I got in the car and went to the store. And as you go in the store, sometimes you might see your image. You say, oh, my goodness, I forgot to brush my hair. That's the same way it is with the Lord. When he shows us plain ourselves and the things we need, that is our opportunity. We need to respond to it, because if we don't, we're going to be sorry in the judgment. We're going to have some regrets to live with. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, even as ministers, it doesn't matter what you have. We all have this responsibility to be careful that we don't come short in the judgment. And the way not to do it is to take care of things as God deals with you. Don't walk around and forget it. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. This is him. We look up to Paul. We think he was a wonderful man of God. But he fought a good fight. He finished his course and he kept the faith until the end. But he had work to do every single day. We all do. We have to deny ourselves daily.
Yes. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
So every day, that's a job we have to do. We have to beat this body and keep it under subjection. You know, the devil will present evil thoughts and the wrong kind of thoughts, but we have to fight that. We don't have to give in to it. We must keep it under subjection. I myself must keep my body under subjection, that when I preach to others, I be a castaway. I don't want to be a castaway. My goal is heaven. So I have to fight. We all have to fight. None of us have made heaven yet. And so we have the responsibility. Our soul is in our hand. We have the responsibility to respond to the Lord, to do the things that he say. Well, he says it. Let's go to one more scripture, Jeremiah 8 and 9. If we don't, we'll have regrets. And we don't want to be like these people in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. The end of our opportunity are going to come. We do not want to be found short.
Jeremiah 8 and 20.
Yes.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place.
No, I put it down wrong. Try 9, because I said 9, but then I don't know what happened. But if these people said the summer is ended,
Jeremiah 8 and 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved.
Yes. The harvest is past. The time of my opportunities is past. We don't want that to happen. While we have life, it's still hope. Let's take advantage of it. Pray for me.